for takeoff.
We are cleared for takeoff.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Time to take flight in your community and in your life. This is Audio Airstrike.
What's up, everybody? I'm Everett Hall McNeil, and this is Audio Airstrike episode 171. I took a break, a 15-day break, to collect my thoughts, to clear my head, get some well-needed rest. And I decided to kind of listen to some other podcasts and just listen to some media and listen to some audiobooks on just ways that I can grow. And I came across something that disturbed me. For those of you who are on Clubhouse, you know the different rooms that talk about investing. You know the different rooms that talk about social issues. You know the different rooms that talk about a plethora of different things if you're in them. And I need to address this because this has bothered me for a while. I've been in rooms in Clubhouse where it's uplifting, we're sharing information, and that's great. However, there also is another side. And sadly, people get into the platform. You think they understand what the purpose of the platform is. When it comes to Clubhouse, the platform is networking. And either you're dropping gems for education or you're networking with other people. What has started happening now amongst certain rooms is people are getting into drama. People are talking down to one another. People are verbally tearing each other apart. I'm not saying it's all the rooms. I'm saying it's some. And you can't get a clear thought across without somebody interrupting you, especially when stuff gets heated. And sadly, this is in rooms that happen to be predominantly African American. I want to make this very clear. This platform is a tool to network, grow, and learn from one another. And when this technology is created for that purpose, as it pertains to Clubhouse, of course, there is a risk that if somebody is invited in, that they are not going to use that platform for that purpose. Instead, they're going to use that platform to clout chase, divide and conquer, and build their following to do whatever they see fit. It doesn't matter if they stand on some type of integrity or if they're right and wrong. As long as their following grows, it works. We need to be careful when we're on these social media platforms and just spewing any kind of hatred towards one another. But we also need to be careful about weaponizing when somebody is offended. There's a couple of things that I don't play with. One is manipulating somebody's outrage. Two is divisive behavior. And we'll add another one. We'll add trolling. And I came across that on a recent Clubhouse chat that I was listening to. Apparently some drama went down the night before and I was just sitting there listening. And it bothered me that there was a lot of the talking down to, a lot of the arguments, a lot of the back and forth. He said, she said stuff. And a lot of hours got wasted. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Last year, we had the issues of racial injustice that we're still trying to get solved to this day. And make no mistake about it, we are still trying to get things solved to this day. Derek Chauvin is in trial, and a bunch of plethora of other stuff happening in 2020 that has led up to 2021. And we are still having discussions like this where it is disheartening. This should be the time. It's April of 2021. This should be the time where we're trying to finally figure out solutions to problems, not trying to talk down to each other. But if I say this message in this clubhouse, in some of these clubhouse rooms, I'm either going to get interrupted, verbally cast to the side, and have people be rude. I'm not saying that's everybody. I'm saying that's some people. Why is it that the people that are calling for unity and mobilizing and getting things done being treated this way? Have you ever thought that? It's very, very interesting to me. I'll be very transparent. I took time off to collect my thoughts about what was going on. I took time off because, as you know, folks, it's not easy being a podcaster. It's not easy doing an episode week after week after week and talking about the things that we talk about, no holds barred. Especially when you know there's going to be criticism over each episode that you do. I'm perfectly fine mentally, physically, and spiritually right now. Everything is good. My family's safe. Mom is healthy. No worries at all. But I am concerned for the behavior that I've seen displayed since I've taken my 15 days of relaxation to come back refreshed and talk about some of the stuff that is on my mind for this particular episode. I saw what went down in the clubhouse room. There were a couple things, obviously, that pained me. One, it was a majority African-American clubhouse room that was acting this way. Two, there wasn't a solution of unity and coming together. Three, I watched several talented young African-American men and women tear each other down over stuff that probably people are really not going to pay attention to a year from now. Even as far as to exposing people's personal information. It's a bad look on the people in that group that don't associate with that stuff, that don't play those type of games. It's a bad look on African Americans. It's just a bad look in general. Even if you're just a human being, it's just a bad look. Like, we shouldn't be doing this to each other. They have constructed a vaccine and stuff is slowly starting to open up. I'm not saying we are completely out of the woodworks yet, but stuff is feeling more open, at least on my end, from where I live at. And even with that being the case, there's no excuse to be divisive, to carry on with this certain level of behavior. It has to stop, and we need to do better. And I'm encouraging everyone, even the people that were in that room, if they happen to hear this, I encourage you guys. I'm not saying you guys all got to get along because there were some personal issues that I have no clue about, and I'm not going to speak on it on my public platform. I'm just not. But there's a lot of issues that need to be settled behind closed doors. And hopefully one day they can be settled. And hopefully one day that we can see a turnaround in some of those groups where we're talking about things and finding solutions to problems and really building each other up instead of tearing each other down. I encourage you guys to do that. Now I'm switching gears and I do want to talk about this. The Lil Nas X video. Everybody was talking about it. Everybody was raving about it. There are a couple things that I don't understand. Old Town Road was a big hit. 2019, I get all that. No problem. No questions. No harms. No fouls. Whatever. This, at the time, 18-year-old kid puts out a culture-shifting hit that blends country and rap together. To the point, his demographic, which is teenage years to less, is bumping the song. And the parents are bumping the song because it feels like a safe song. Fast forward to now. He drops a video that has him dancing very provocatively on the devil himself. There's a difference between both rollouts that he has done. When you look at Old Town Road and then you look at this. He didn't come off like a troll. He was seen on Sesame Street. He didn't come off like a troll back then. Now, he's trolling every last conservative person that has an issue. Here's the problem that I have. The kid said that he wasn't a role model. That it's our fault for giving kids his music to use. Let me make one thing personally clear. If that was the case, why did you show up to elementary schools? Why did you show up to Sesame Street? Why did you show up to places where you knew kids were listening and bumping to the music? And you performed the songs. You had no problem collecting a check and doing that. Now, granted, I have no problem with his sexual orientation. Let me make that very clear before I start going into what I need to go into. He wants to live his life that way. I'm not going to turn around and judge this kid. But what I am have a problem with is this. We let everybody talk about what offends them, what triggers them, what causes them outrage, and I'm all for that. I'd rather you get that out than hold that in and do something destructive later. That's just how I am. At the same time, I noticed this. When it comes to your regular everyday Christian, how come they are forced to be quiet and they are harshly dismissed when they decide to speak up and talk about this is an issue for me, and here's why. Every other community, and rightfully so, is given the platform to say and talk exactly about what triggers them. But when it comes to Christians, oh, we don't want to hear you guys, a bunch of Bible thumpers. Shut up, sit down, and just enjoy it. Shut up. That's what we get on our brunt end. I don't think that's fair. If somebody's offended by something, let them articulate what offends them so we can get to the business of solving this issue. If everybody is allowed to get their grievances out, let the Christians do it too. I'm not talking about the judgmental Bible thumpers. I'm talking about the everyday Christian that would see that and go, I'm disturbed by that. That does not rock with me. Now, I will say this. The problem that I have with currently with Lil Nas X is not the fact that his sexual orientation, not even the fact that he did a video. It's now you are weaponizing and manipulating people's outrage. That's what trolls do. So my question is, when the next song or the next big moment that you need, are you going to keep on doing these videos for shock value? Because it's going to get to a point that I'm not going to see much of a difference between you and 6ix9ine. Kind of harsh, but it's starting to get to that point. I think the kid is talented at what he does. I just think he needs to be more less annoyingly trolling in the middle of a rollout. His Old Town Road rollout was, in my opinion, it was a very authentic rollout than this one. The reason being, he didn't go on social media just trolling and triggering people. You know, some people are going to hear me and go, the only reason why you're having an issue with this is because of the imagery in the video. I'm going to put it to you like this. The imagery in the video, I don't rock with. At least that part. Everything else, fine. Be artistic. Do what you got to do. But everything else, I have my right not to agree with some of the imagery. As a filmmaker, yes, I film a lot of hard stuff. I film a lot of gritty things. But even me, as a creator, I have my line as to what I'm going to film, and in the artistic way I'm going to film it, because there's certain morals and ethics that I'm not going to compromise. That's me. And considering that I have a platform, considering that I have my standards and morals, and I have my God-given right to articulate those respectfully. So I'm respectfully saying that it was too much for me. He didn't have to do that. He's a talented young man. He doesn't need to troll to do his rollout at this point. And I'm going to be honest. This was a calculated lash out against certain Christians he never got an apology from. This is why he has a I don't give a F attitude right now. And don't get it twisted. It's wrong for a bunch of Christians to go up to somebody and bully someone who is LGBTQ. But it is also wrong to weaponize and trigger people and play with their emotions. And from my standpoint, if you spend too much time glorifying those images, and everybody knows what images they were, it's public, you can look them up. Me personally, I cannot rock with that. Everybody has their line. Everybody has their limit. I have mine. And it's really all that I have to say. about this issue. I hope it gets resolved. I hope, to be honest with you, I hope he gets closure. I hope he gets the apology he's looking for. I mean, to me, what this says is I never got the apology from Christians that made fun of me or shamed me or made me feel like I was the worst person in the world. And I'm going to hell for being gay. So now I'm going to use this as a rollout to lash out at everybody and make them mad. And if you saw the tweets, you can understand why I'm feeling that way and why I'm saying that about him. Hopefully he gets some kind of closure and some kind of, you know, heart to heart over the issue, depending on whoever made him feel that way years ago, because I don't think that is resolved based on how he acted. So that's really all I have to say about that, man. And something else that has really, really grinded my gears that I've noticed, and that is the black quarterback under more scrutiny than Caucasian quarterbacks. I'm not trying to be divisive, but I've noticed some things, and I'm going to get to them right now. When we sit over here and look at the landscape of sports, and mainly in the NFL, the quarterback position in the National Football League has been it is going to be universally dominated by African-American quarterbacks. Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, who's been in the league for a while now. You look at all those names. And you look at what's going on. Especially with Dan Orgonofsky's comments on Justin Fields and not getting all the information up front and basically insinuating that his work ethic should be questionable. However, I looked at some tweets about, you know, Josh Herbert when Dan Orgonofsky was talking about him. And there wasn't any questions about his work ethic. The problem that I have as somebody who is into sports, I notice a trend going on that black quarterbacks are judged a little bit more harshly than quarterbacks who happen to be of Caucasian descent. And I'm not trying to cause division, but this is something that has to be addressed. We live in a society that pins black against white. In America, that has happened a lot. That was the foundation, sadly, of this country. And that system has been in place for so long, and it has programmed multiple generations for so long, that people are even thinking that way and not even realizing how racially insensitive it is. I saw Charles Barkley's comments on the Final Four, and he reiterated those words, paraphrasing what he's saying. You have people in these positions, these politicians, and regardless as to what party, they want to split the middle class up. They want to split race up because division creates cash for politicians. Even in sports. And the one thing that you guys need to take into account is there are 31 or should I say 32 teams in the National Football League. While that's the case, there are people fighting for a spot and people displaying the best work ethic they can, and they still get hate. Lamar Jackson said a very profound thing, encouraging people. It ain't nothing wrong with doing a 9-to-5 job, not being on the block, not doing this, and keeping your 10 toes down to be the best person that you can be. You don't have to be on the street. And keep in mind, folks, this is a guy that gets hate thrown at him a lot because he doesn't look like the traditional quarterback. He has a little bit of a Florida accent. And as articulate as he is, as great of a role model as he is, there are people that will find something not to like about him. We look at Justin Fields, another talented quarterback who will definitely be on a team in the NFL soon. He may even get picked up before Trevor Lawrence does. Now, that's a hot take, maybe to some people, but I truly think that might happen. But you can't be coming around here throwing comments like that with somebody of the talent of Justin Fields. And I can't help but to wonder if Justin Fields was of a different hue, would his work ethic be called into question? We have to treat everybody based on their ability, their intangibles, and what do they bring to the table. That's what it should be about. But for some reason, with quarterbacks that look a certain way, there's like this more harsh criticism over them. I don't understand it. Well, I do understand where possibly could that be stemming from. But what I don't understand is why this is still such a thing in 2021 when the majority of the league is African American. And it mind boggles me, right? Because a lot of people want to stay played in the matrix. They don't never want to unplug themselves. You want to stay in a certain view. You want to stay in a certain programming. You don't want to grow and learn and understand and realize what is insensitive racially and what is not insensitive racially. And you need to understand that in the grand scheme of things, you can't just say anything, especially with everything that has happened now. You can't just say anything, throw things out there and not do the proper homework on these athletes. To question somebody's work ethic weeks outside of a draft, do you know what impact that does down to who they're working with, what team picks them up, how their trade value or how their draft value is going to be, if they're going to be picked higher or lower? Do you know the gravitas of saying that about somebody, what that does to their overall value? You're affecting their livelihood. So I think we need to be very careful when we're sitting over here judging these African-American quarterbacks that we don't come off racially insensitive. Because I've seen a lot of that lately. How long y'all gonna play this divisive game? I like Justin Herbert. He's a great quarterback. I like Lamar Jackson, too. He's a great quarterback. But the pinning, this systematic pinning them against each other, this systematic of like this underlining racial tension, you coming at this person harshly, then this, that's got to stop. It should be about their level of play, what they bring to the table as a leader, what they bring to the table as a role model, how they rally that locker room around, and their ability on the field. That should be it. Because to be honest with you, this is getting pretty ridiculous. If you are not aware of what is racially insensitive as an analyst or as somebody who is a spectator over the game and who is getting paid by a network or who is getting paid by the fans or who is getting or who is on a platform that is you're paid by sponsors, anything in between, you should know to have better couth and do more research before you speak something out there. You know what type of time it is. Anything you say can get twisted. So you have to be careful. You have to do your due diligence. You have to make sure that you cross your T and dot every I. Because if you look crazy or look racially insensitive, this ain't the days where you just swipe it under the rug and be like, nah, you do your half-ass apology and then you keep it moving. No, you have to stand on something. You have to answer for it. So I want to give a shout out to all the quarterbacks that keep their head down and work, but not just work. They stand for something when they need to. They put in that work, they put in that effort, and they should be respected as such. Nothing more, nothing less. I want to get into the fact that a certain young lady is 18 years old. Bad Baddie, she used to be called. Well, that's currently her rapper name. She also was the young girl that was on Dr. Phil. She made over $1 million on OnlyFans. A lot of money in a short amount of time. What's disturbing to me is the fact that the second she turned 18, a bunch of people subscribed and they probably waited for her to turn 18 to subscribe to her OnlyFans. Let me make this very perfectly clear. That is sick. I don't play games with that red shirting type of behavior. Y'all waited until she turned 18, which means 17, 16. Y'all was sitting there waiting. That is sick. Y'all are some bottom basement internet pedos is what y'all acting like. Oh, Everett, you got to stop the name calling. What do you call this then? It's sick. That's all I got to say about this. I ain't got too much more to say. I'm glad she made her money. She can help her family out and stuff of that nature. It's more, I feel like this is somewhat of a more constructive way to a point. I don't agree with, now me personally, I don't agree with, you know, people just showing everything on OnlyFans and collecting money. That's just me. That's just me. That's a whole nother argument for a whole nother time. But however, the fact that you got sickos waiting until she's 18 to subscribe to see more risque photos and they waited till she turned 18 is sick. It's ridiculous. It's pedophilia behavior to me. I don't care how you slice it, dice it. It's weird to me. I don't get it. I definitely don't get it. So that is pretty much, I know those are some of the news stories that I found that were an issue. And I know that I have more coming in now. So we're going to get right into more People were also talking about the Sweetie and Quavo issue. And this is all I have to say about that. People have got to learn to keep their hands to themselves. People have to learn to communicate when it comes to relationships. Let me make it very clear to you guys. If you don't communicate exactly what you want out of the relationship, it's going to cause trouble and harm later. You have to communicate exactly how you're feeling in that moment. You have to sit down there and tell this partner of yours that, hey, this is how I got offended by this. Hey, this is what bothered me. If you hold that stuff in, that footage that came out with Quavo and Sweetie getting into it in that elevator, that's what happens when stuff don't get resolved. Granted, I don't know the specifics as to what happened. I don't know them personally. In my personal opinion, I think what caused that is a breakdown of miscommunication. And that is what happens. It creates a domino effect. And that is how you have to be careful about getting into it and doing certain things. Also, I want to switch gears and give our prayers to DMX. He had an overdose. Family has been faced with a decision that's based off TMZ. As of April 8th, 2021, I hope he pulls through. From what I'm hearing from TMZ, he is in a coma and the test results are not good. Stuff is, you know, we are still praying and hoping that everything works out in his favor. And people are showing support for DMX and stuff of that nature. I hope that everything goes well in that regard. You know, I'm hoping he pulls through. I hope everything works out. That is a very rough situation to get through. I wish that on nobody. One of the things that we need to understand is that, for one, if you have somebody struggling, make sure that you check up on them. If you have somebody that is going through it, make sure that you do your due diligence to make sure that they are good so we can avoid stuff like this from happening. It's very apparent that we take time to check up on our family members. We take time to check up on those that don't open up. Go up to the cousin that is too quiet and ask them if they're okay. We all got family members that got poker faces, and if you look at them, you're thinking everything's cool. But don't be afraid to ask them. Giving our prayers to DMX, we hope everything works out. Definitely, 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 for sure. Derek Chauvin is on trial. And so far, there have been a lot of emotions. The representation from Derek Chauvin's side is they're trying to make it seem like that people were getting upset and causing a ruckus. That is what his lawyers are trying to push, is that they're trying to find some type of narrative that the crowd got angry and disrupted certain things. That's not going to fly in that courtroom. I'm praying, even though we've seen this story play out before, I'm praying that we do get a conviction. That I hope everything is okay. And that we don't have to see Derek Chauvin for a long time. Because in my opinion, he's a murderer. And I don't care what court case that goes. guy's a murderer. And a daughter is still without the father. I know this episode of Audio Airstrike is short, but I just wanted to touch on this and encourage somebody today. We are in April, and the season's changing, and if you pulled through and made it through a tough winter season, my hat's off to you. I hope this warmer weather changes your mood, makes you excited for what's coming next. And I hope that you see a light at the end of the tunnel. It has been a hard several months for some of you. Mentally, some of y'all have been worn out through different situations. Some of y'all have battled doubt within your own brain. Some of y'all have went tooth and nail, you know, just to make sure that you guys are good, just to make sure that your family's good, just to make sure that your kids are good. And if nobody tells you, I'm proud of you. Keep up the good work. Keep doing what you're doing. You got people rooting for you. You got a support system rooting for you. And if nobody else is rooting for you, I'm rooting for you. So that is my little encouraging word to keep going, keep pressing on. We're going to be back with the episode later this weekend. So I'm going to be dropping another episode over the weekend with Three Kings, and they are going to be chatting it up with me about several things and several topics. So be on the lookout for that over the weekend. I'm going to drop a special episode over the weekend. This podcast usually does come on Wednesdays, but due to me taking time off and just, you know, kind of getting myself together, kind of getting rejuvenated, you guys are getting a special Thursday edition of Audio Airstrike. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. I rode solo dolo today. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Make sure that you follow us on all podcast platforms, and for video content, you can also check us out on YouTube, IG Reels, and TikTok. All right. You guys take care. Have a good one.